Because we understand big deals. Most of us had some time in our life that was a big event. Some we're excited about, some we look forward to, some we count down for. Weddings, vacations, graduation, Super Bowl that the Chiefs are in, prom, or the birth of a grandbaby. 6 days late. Already being a woman. No, I'm just kidding. Whoop, inside voice, I'm sorry. Just kidding, I'm just kidding. It's getting hot in here already. That's why. I'm going to just get the air moving is what I'm doing. In a minute, I might turn. I'll turn the AC. It's 4 degrees warmer than I set it for. I don't know. So, but this humidity is part of the problem. So, and Miss Linda don't think it's a problem at all. But those big events in our lives, we can count down. We'll talk about them. We make plans for them. And then we get worked up. We get excited, don't we? And this today was a big deal. Man, I was looking forward to this. Brother Jerry gets excited. When I look at him and say, hey, baptism needs to get wet, that smile comes on, gets excited. And sometimes that requires a lot of work by him and Renee. They'll come up and wash this thing clean, and then they got to beat it to death with a hammer because halftime it don't cooperate. This time the Lord really worked, didn't he? Lord really got it going and wasn't a fight. But we get excited about big events, and often we invite people to those big events because that event is better with more people. You know, whether it's a party or a baptism, more people to celebrate, more people to witness the event. And after the event, what do? We show pictures. We talk about it. We make videos to show at church. And why do we do this? Because we know that event is a big deal. It was worth it. It was exciting. It's that exciting. And over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at a passage in Acts chapter 16 of a man named Cornelius, a religious man. He prayed. He did good things. He desired to honor God, but he had not yet placed faith in Jesus Christ because he did not know the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. And because of his heart's desire to know the gospel, God told him to send and call for a man named Peter. Quite a man. And at the same time as God was working in the life of Cornelius, he was also teaching Peter a lesson. During prayer, God completely got a hold of Peter's mind and heart. Changing ideas, teaching him that the Gentile people were not bad, dirty people. That all people were made to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So last week we saw Peter start to act in faith. He trusted that the men that came for him were sent by God. He hosted these men that his community would see as unclean people. And by faith he started traveling to go and speak to this Cornelius guy. And then he asked what the purpose of his travel was. And in verse 22, it told him to hear words of thee, for you to speak to him. There are people that want to hear the gospel of Christ. There's people out there wanting to know how they can have a relationship with God. There are people that are pursuing a relationship with God, just do not understand the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for. That's what God has sent to us. Peter had the privilege of walking with Christ. He witnessed the person of Christ. He was prepared by God for this task and sent by God to go. So Peter does what? He accepts the opportunity and starts to travel. He goes to Cornelius. And in Acts chapter 10, let's read a passage here. Go down to verse 24 where we left off. Verse 24, it says, who having received such a charge, I'm in this morning's text, just in the Sunday school's text. I'm like, that did not sound right. It's Acts chapter 10, not 16. Okay, in verse 24, And the morrow, after they enter into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you'd calm our hearts, our spirits. We just let your spirit speak to us through your word. If there's someone here that's never placed faith in Jesus Christ, this can be the day of salvation. Lord, for each one that is a child of God already, that we be challenged to see the importance of your message. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us first. In your name I pray. Amen. Did I see Cooper walk in? Sorry, Cooper. I was told when I came out here, I know your name, brother. But we voted, and you got to be baptized again tomorrow or next Sunday. Did you even hear me call you Joey? You should have kicked me. So we see here, as Peter has gone to speak to Cornelius, we see this was a big deal for Peter. With direction from God, Cornelius called for Peter. But Peter was also sent by God, so Peter goes. Now, in obedience, you and I are to go. Go to all nations, right? We're supposed to reach our neighbors, reach our families for Christ. We're a representative of Christ, we're ambassadors for Christ. But if you notice here, one man called for Peter. One man caused Peter to stop everything he was doing and travel a long, dangerous distance to go and speak to one man. Peter does all this because of one man. You know why? Peter thought this man's soul was valuable. Did you hear that? Peter understood that this man's soul was valuable. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, 26. Listen to hear what Jesus said. "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul?" Your soul is more valuable than this entire world. And yet we see people kill for a few dollars, not understanding the value of a soul. If this whole world had to be burned to save your soul is worth it. The soul of a man is worth more than we can imagine. So much so that a holy, awesome God that created all the universe sent his only begotten Son to die for you. How valuable is your soul? In this reference, speaking of man, it's speaking of every human being. Your neighbor, your brothers, your sisters, your spouse, you with me? Your spouse, your children, the person you can't stand in this world, their soul is worth more than the whole world. Often we treat the ones closest to us as if they don't have a value. You ever notice that? We'll speak to them in ways that we wouldn't speak to our clients, the people we work for. What have we just told our spouse? My client has a greater value than you. We'll neglect our kids so that we can do overtime at work. What are we telling our kids? Making a little extra money is more valuable than raising you. Let's guard that. Understand the value of that soul and who we're supposed to invest in. Peter realized the value of this soul, of this man named Cornelius. And understand, Cornelius was a complete stranger. Now there's a concept. You imagine traveling all that distance to go speak to a man you've never met, that's some value, isn't it? It's quiet in here. Is it because it's too hot? Miss Linda, you better start saying amen. That air conditioner's coming on real quick. Watch this, though. Air conditioner. See there? See there? Woo! Let's keep unity. Here we go. He went for a complete stranger. He uprooted everything he was doing. He put his life on pause, and he traveled to Cornelius, to a man that Jews would normally have nothing to do with because he was a Roman. This was a big deal, not only for Peter, but it was a big deal for Cornelius. In verse 24, it says, Cornelius waited for them. Now, remember, God spoke to him. He immediately sent his soldiers out to go get Peter. And then he's just sitting there waiting. And he's worked up. I mean, he's watching his sundial, you know what I mean? You've heard a watch clock never clicks. A watch sundial doesn't either, literally. And he's watching that sundial. He's like, come on now. Because it took quite a while to travel. Remember, they spent the night with Peter. So they were gone for some time, and he's excited. He's waiting for this news. He's waiting for this teaching from God. Peter couldn't get there quick enough. Cornelius wanted to hear the message from God. This was not an afterthought. It wasn't, hey, if you have time, would you please come? It wasn't, hey, Peter, come when it's convenient for you. It's a matter of I want it and I need it now. The Word of God should excite you. It should excite you to hear the Word of God be opened and preached, spoken. And I shared with you before a sad thing that was told to me by a pastor. No one ever complains about a short message. And only one time did I get a, that was too short. You stopped when it was getting good. And it wasn't even someone from our church. Our church, like, I listen to you all the time. No. And I'm not speaking of me. I'm speaking of the Word of God. That should excite you. Should put you on the edge of your pew. Excited about what's next. Keeping you awake from, not meditating. If you meditate, do it in your heart. It's hard, I know. But, you know, it should make us excited. Let each of us evaluate our walk with Christ, our desire for Scripture, because sometimes life gets busy and we fail to spend time in the Word of God. We're not reading for ourselves. And what happens is the longer you stay out of God's Word, the more we start to feel we don't need it and it's not that big of a deal. The more comfortable we become without her. And I challenge you, if that's where you're at, spend time in prayer and humble yourself to open up the Word of God and start to read. If you've never had a place you've started reading on your own, open up to the book of John. What a better place to come to know Jesus deeply and start to study there. But when we're fresh in God's Word, we can't keep it to ourselves. When you're fresh in that walk with God, we understand the importance of His Word. Because if it's from God, it's going to be powerful. The second thing we're going to notice here is the excitement. If you remember, both it was a big deal for Peter to travel so much. It was a big deal for Cornelius that he sent people to get Peter. And he's sitting there waiting for him. But there was an excitement as well. If you remember, Cornelius had heard from God. He'd been waiting for days for Peter to arrive. He's excited for this event. So notice what he did in verse 24. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. This was too good to keep to himself. Cornelius didn't sit idle saying, well, Peter will get here when he gets here. Hope he's got something good for me. No, he got busy. He opens up his home and he starts to invite his family, his friends, his neighbor to come in. Yes, he opened up his home and said, come on. You need what I need. You need what I'm about to get. You see the excitement of Cornelius here? He wasn't just sitting around. He knew this was going to be good because it was a promise from God. Here's the thing we can get discouraged with. The same thing probably happened to Cornelius. Probably not everybody invited wanted to come. Probably some didn't like religion. Probably some would say, oh, church people are all hypocrites. Some may look at him and say, oh, that's just a goofy waste of time. But you know what? Cornelius didn't stop from inviting. He kept inviting because this was that important. Cornelius didn't stop from being present himself. Well, if they don't go to church, I'm not going to. Well, you know, they're sleeping in, and it kind of taught me that I can too. You know, you create habits because of what we see. No, Cornelius said, no, this is what I need. This is where I need to be. I'm going. Hurry up and get here, Peter. And I'm going to get as many people present together as we can. And we saw, see in verse 27 that once Peter did arrive, once he walked into the house, there were a bunch that came together. There was a bunch. In other words, Cornelius was out there. Come on, come on, come on. And because of his reputation, because of Cornelius' life and character, when he said it was important, there was people that believed him that it wasn't going to be a waste of their time. So they came to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not knowing what they were going to hear, but to hear the most powerful message they would ever hear. See, Cornelius wasn't even a Christ follower yet. He's not even a Christ follower, but you know what he's already doing? Fulfilling the Great Commission. To go and make the world know about Jesus. He's already inviting people to hear the gospel. Already telling people to come to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Already knowing what you and I are called to do. Hey, come on, this is going to be important. Cornelius doesn't understand it, but he knows it's from God. He hasn't heard it yet, but he knows God has promised it. So what if God promised it? Who needs it? We all do. It's powerful. And so if you hold this excitement, days like today, when we see baptism, it's all the sweeter. It's all the more exciting because this is our passion. If you're excited about the Word of God and the work of God, if you're out inviting people to church, if you're presenting the gospel, you're handing out gospel tracts, man, when we see the baptism full of water, we can't help but go, woo, woo! Yeah? You're not supposed to go to whooping church? I'm sorry. Understand how great this is. The house was full because he decided to share his enthusiasm. Sometimes our problem is we have lost the excitement. That our faith isn't fresh. Our walk with Christ becomes stale. We become complacent, satisfied with what we're doing. Excuse me. Completely satisfied with the way that things are going, how they've been. And so we've been failing to study the Word of God. We've been failing to be on our knees humbly in prayer. We start to allow sin to creep in our lives, just the little things. A little bit at a time, it takes over. How much poison in a cup of water does it take to hurt you? Not the full cup, just a drop. Sometimes we stopped being intimate with God, stopped obeying Him. And yes, I use that word intimate very heavily because our walk with God needs to quit being shallow. Not as satisfied with saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. But it needs to be one that I seriously, my heart is devoted to walk with Him, to obey Him, to serve Him, to represent Him. And when we stop doing that, the freshness is done. It's old news. It becomes stale, complacent, Church isn't exciting. I hope you come here and you're encouraged with some hugs, a little laughter. But we say often, this isn't just a group of people gathering. We are family. We're going to cry together. We're going to laugh together. We're going to have fun. But we're going to deal with heavy stuff, serious stuff, and that's the Word of God. We're going to be challenged together. And I hope that when we open up God's Word together, you are challenged and you take it personal. It's not for the person on the other side of the building. It's for you. It's for me. God's Word is personal to you and I. And when we stop taking it personal, it becomes shallow. It becomes stale. And so again, you need to repent and fall on your knees and pray. Get into God's Word and be reminded of God's awesomeness. Let me just share this with you. When you get into God's Word, it's not boring. There's so much depth into the Word of God. We serve an awesome God. We serve an exciting God. In the Bible, if you want horror stories, they're there. There's a guy who was eaten by worms. Whoop, whoop. There's boulders fall from heaven and crush cities. There was hail that fell. Cities that burn up. You want romance? There's romance all over the Bible. You want to be challenged to know Jesus? You want sacrifice? You want to see love? It's in the Word of God. Why? Because He touches every area of our life. And when your intimacy with God is right, when you're in His Word and letting His Word be in you, when you're humble on your knees before Him, you will be bold as Paul. What do I mean bold as Paul? Romans 1:16 tells us one of the great verses in Scripture, great to memorize. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul would preach the gospel. He got stoned almost dead, almost killed. And what did he do? He got back up, went back in the same city to preach some more. That's bold, isn't it? Why did he do that? He knew the Word of God was powerful. He wasn't going to be ashamed of it. It is the only way of salvation to everyone that believes. Now, how important is the Word of God to you? How important is the Word of God to me? Do we pursue it? Do we get excited? Or do we go, oh, it's preaching. Do we open it up at home? Because understand, I share many times in Acts chapter 17, I believe verse 11, the Scripture calls a church more noble. Not because they were big, not because they had good music, not because they had a lot of people. He said they were more noble because they were faithful to go to church. They listened to their pastor preach. And you know what made them noble? They went home to search the Scriptures to make sure what was preached was right. Don't take my word for it. Go home, open up God's Word, and let God speak for Himself. Then come and be challenged, and be fed, and be taught, and go home and search again. That's how we're supposed to do it. If all you do is come to church, and I throw up in your mouth because you're eating what I have spit out, you're missing out on the good food. It's a little gross, but it's true, ain't it? Okay? How important is God's Word to us? Intimacy will destroy your shame. Intimacy will destroy your shame. Intimacy is going to use your timidity because God's going to give you a platform. You don't need one. God's going to give you who to speak to. God's going to open up all kinds of opportunities because He'll use you when you love His Word and know the importance of it. Intimacy will cause an excitement because you understand the power of the gospel. And this is how Cornelius is waiting to hear. He's about to hear this power. He's about to hear what he's waiting from God. Well, look at his honor. Look at his honor. Because, again, hearing the Word of God is a big deal. And he was reverent. He was full of excitement knowing that this was from God. So when Peter walks in the door, look at verse 25. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Cornelius saw him. He's been waiting for him. He's like, you're finally here. And he fell down at Peter's feet and worshiped him. Probably thought Peter, man, this man must be a special saint worthy of worship. I'll probably start praying to him now. And he wanted to honor the one carrying the word of God. Don't condemn Cornelius. Many of us worship our athletes, our politicians, our actors. We can go on a list, can't we? Our sports, our money. Here he's worshiping, at least he's trying to worship a man that he thinks is bringing the word of God. And he bows down to him. And I love Peter's quick start, his quick reaction and starting to teach already in verse 26. To stand up. I myself am a what? What does it say? I myself am a man. I ain't nobody. That's good English, isn't it, Miss Teachers? I ain't nobody. Peter says, get up. I'm nothing more than you are. I'm a created being. I'm not worthy of special treatment and worship. I'm not higher than you are. Stand up and give me a hug. I remember this church when I first got here, somebody greeted me when I went to shake their hands. Brothers don't shake hands, they hug. Awesome, because I'm a hugger. I love to hug, but I put people in awkward situations. It's weird to hug somebody and they're like, you've been there too, ain't you? I've seen someone who's been there. I'm a hugger. But Peter here says, stand up, man. I ain't nothing to worship here. Anyone who prays to idols or worships idols, statues, saints, take note of Peter's comments here. Even Peter, this man of God, this apostle of God, who was given power to heal in the New Testament, who wrote letters in this Holy Scripture, he recognized that he is nothing higher than man. He said, don't worship me. Don't pray to me. He said, I ain't nobody. There's only one worthy of worship, and that one is God himself. He's not going to share his glory. He's not going to share his praise with any other. If you doubt me, Isaiah 42:8 tells you that. Peter was here to speak of the work of God and the work of God through Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. And we worship Jesus? Yes, because he is God. Do we praise Jesus? Yes, because he is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's the only one worthy of praise. That's why for all eternity, he will be worshiped. For all eternity, he will hear, you are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord. He's worthy of worship, but you and I are not. And so Peter speaks of the work of God here. And he wants to make Jesus known, so he says, get up. I'm just a man. I have something better than me for you. I have something better than me. Understand Peter's humility in this situation. This was a different attitude concerning the Jews and Gentiles. Jews looked down on Gentiles for hundreds of years. Mistreated them, acted like they were nobodies. So if Peter would have demanded him to bow down to worship him, that would have been normal. So here's a Jew saying, no, I'm just like you. Cornelius had to go, what? You see the humility of Peter here, starting to realize and learn God's teaching? He knew that he wasn't worthy. And he explains later. Go down to verse 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter learned a lesson from God. You know, while he was on that rooftop that we talked about a few weeks ago, Peter has learned that man has misused God's laws to separate the Jews and the Gentiles. See, God gave the Jews that law to separate them from idolatry, not to separate man. It was to keep his people pure and to worship Him. But now God has provided a gospel that will unite people, allowing the Jews and the Gentiles to be God's people. Allow all men to be holy. You with me? God has made a way that you can be holy, that you can be justified, that you can be sanctified. Charlie's going to get in trouble. And, The back, but no, And I don't want it on my desk either. And, well, they're 6 hours away, so. But understand, their man had used this for self-righteousness. Well, I'm better than them. God had sent it for purity and holiness, not for self-righteousness. Church, when you and I start to consider ourselves better than the unbeliever, we start losing them rather than reaching them. We're supposed to be a light to them that they can see truth, not try to blind their eyes. The teaching of the gospel is vital, and we have the privilege to do this. Look at Peter's urgency. This is real quick, almost done here. Look at Peter's urgency in verse 29. He told this group of people, because of what he just read, that it was illegal for him to come to them, that by law he should not enter their land, much less their home. In verse 29 he says, "Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for." He said, "I came to you without gainsaying." Not a word I use every day, but it simply means without hesitation. Came to you without resistance, without objection. Peter wasn't going to make excuses to avoid this opportunity. He wasn't going to be fearful to obey God, even though this was against the law of his people. He wasn't going to wait for a better time. He wasn't going to say, "Hey, I need a class on evangelism before I start speaking about Jesus." Peter says, "Listen, God has given me what I have, and that I'm going to deliver." You see the urgency? Peter said, "They need Jesus. And that's something I can deliver. I can come and speak." See, Peter immediately comes to them for three reasons. God had prepared him for this opportunity. He had taught him what he needed to know. Peter also was sent by God. And anything, even a delay, would be disobedience to God. Understand, believer, God has sent you to reach your neighbor. God has sent you to guide and love your family. God has sent you to represent him. And if you want to delay that till later, you're living in disobedience right now. God has called you to go, and Peter went. But also there are people that need and are ready to hear the gospel. And no law of the land was going to stop Peter. Did you catch that? No law of the land was going to stop Peter. He didn't care what the government was going to say. He said, "There's righteousness that I will stand on. I want to answer to God first." No fear was going to stop him from preaching. Peter was here with a purpose. See, Peter was ready to preach, and he will. But notice something about Peter. He wasn't in a church building. He's not going to call them to the altar for an emotional prayer time. He's not going to have a bunch of believers congregated to shout amen. He didn't have an organized service to follow. Well, we're going to three songs, announcements, sermon. No, he didn't have a service lined up for him. He didn't have a pulpit to stand behind. He didn't have all the answers. Last week we saw he was confused. This was new teaching to him. He was scared. He didn't even have a King James Bible to preach out of. But nothing was going to stop Peter from doing what God has called him to do. Our calling is to preach Jesus, to make him known. You know, our calling isn't about your opinions. Look with me a minute. Our calling is not about your opinion. It's not about your wants. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your fears. It's not about the speaker having fancy words. That's why Paul earlier in Scripture, I believe in Corinthians, said, "I come not with fancy words, What are you supposed to bring? Christ crucified. It's not about having a beautiful building. We're privileged to have one. That's not what it's about. It's not about having beautiful songs to sing. Our calling, with me, is to make Jesus known. Because this is the power of salvation for every man who believes. That is our job. To let man know, because they have violated the holiness of God, they have sinned against the holy God by breaking His Old Testament law, they now must come in faith by Jesus Christ. The work is done. The payment's been made. All we must do is place faith in Jesus Christ. That's our message. That Christ, God in the flesh, died on a cross and shed His holy blood to be a substitutionary payment for your sins. We've got the sweetest message in all the universe. Now we just need the courage to share it, don't we? Do you have a neighbor that's not saved? Do you have family that's not saved? Do you know someone that's not saved? You know what? You were called to reach one more. Is that soul valuable? Do you believe that soul is worth you being embarrassed? You doing something tough? You sharing something uncomfortable? Peter sure thought it was. And I hope each one of us see that I am thankful for the person that brought me the gospel. I thank God that someone brought it to me, and I hope that I'm excited enough that I can bring it to someone else. Let us go out this week remembering that we have been enabled and called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? We're going to close an invitation today. I haven't done that in a while. And it's not one to cause goosebumps. It's not one to be long and drug out. But I want to give everybody an opportunity to just have a time of prayer. If you're going to humble yourself at the altar, maybe God brings someone to your heart that needs to hear the gospel. And here's our prayer: God, give me the opportunity and I'll be faithful to share. Here's the problem. He's going to give you an opportunity. Will you be faithful to share? Because they need to hear from you. What is this important figure in your life? What is this church thing for you? Why do you take time on Sunday mornings to gather at that place? And it's important that you know why. And that you share that Jesus has the power to save men. Father, we love you. I thank you for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you put your hand on each person in this room, that we would respond. And there's a desire to carry your gospel. A desire to fulfill this calling you've placed in our lives. Lord, I ask that you'd move us out of our pew, humble us. Bring to mind that person we're supposed to reach and represent you to. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, the piano plays while you step out. Will you humble yourself at the altar? Maybe God's placed someone in your heart, in your mind, to humble yourself too. One more. One more. Most of us don't have to go too far. Usually we see him every day. Thank you. Thank you, Brooke.